Halashing for Halas? Want to bry or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fressen, where it's all about the food.
Stop all the stressing, it's time for Fressen. It's time to relax and it's time to ignite. Spark that way of life with Forbashar, the kosher butcher's wife. She has tips and advice for all to share, with recipes made out of love and care, like how to make steaks, not strips of leather, as Forbashar reveals the meals that bring us together. Forbashar, the kosher butcher's wife, on 101.9 for the times of your life.
Good morning to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Barbara Shaw, the kosher butcher's wife, and today I'm joined by Lauren Pulkin. Oh, I've got all my things mixed up there. Anyway, tongue-tied. And with this beautiful weather, I mean, the sun's shining. It's really very ambiguous. The sun shines, but we're still freezing cold. With this weather around us, I decided that maybe we should talk about comfort foods. Now, somehow, comfort foods remind me, I don't know about you, Lauren, about crackling fires and warmth and coziness and just homestyle cooking and then feeling good afterwards.
Most definitely. Although I feel like in our South African houses, we don't really get warm. Our houses aren't built for winter.
They've
got hundreds of heaters and you just can't get that coziness that you see, you know, overseas.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking to my son yesterday. He said, it is so hot. And he says, you know, like South Africa are not conditioned for cold weather as we are. We are not conditioned for hot weather. So he said, the fan is blowing, but it's blowing hot air.
Yeah.
He said, we are dying. We're just sitting in a little baby pool.
We're actually really blessed in South Africa.
We are.
We have perfect weather. It's July. It's 4 weeks of July and it's August and winter's done. So we have to get all the cozy food and all the comfort food in as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. So as the name suggests, comfort food is any type of food, I would suppose, that brings you more contentment, should I say.
Charlotte food brings me contentment all the time.
It does, me too. I'm always thinking, like, what else can I put in the straw next to my bed to make me feel content? And, you know, and somehow it can be associated with nostalgia and home. And, you know, I know that every time my sister-in-law makes a curry in Dallas, the whole family have to come because it just reminds them of home and how my mother-in-law used to make the curry. And it's just comfort food.
Comfort food is. It's what our parents made and our bobas made.
Exactly.
Yeah. Halashing for Halas? Want to bry or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and we are talking comfort food. So, what are your comfort foods, Lauren?
So, I was just thinking when we were talking about cozy, I think there's actually nothing nicer than a book. We get so involved in scrolling through Instagram and looking for recipes on our phones, but I actually came across the most gorgeous book, which is beautiful to sit with a lovely glass of wine on the couch in front of the fire. This book was written by somebody called Elmarie Berry, and actually she's just won an award in Portugal for the most beautiful, I don't remember what they called it, the most beautiful, like a cultural book, but what's the word when not ethnic.
Yeah.
Anyway. But
to your country.
Yeah. Anyway, word finding difficulties today. So on Friday night, I actually tried her sweet and spicy sweet potato on barley and lentils, which I think is such a comfort food. A barley in your soup, in the chicken soup. And this was really delicious. And I asked Elmarie and she said I could share her recipe. So here goes. This serves 6 to 8. You're going to preheat your oven to 180. You're going to use 1 kilogram of sweet potatoes cut into wedges, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, salt and freshly ground black pepper, And then you're going to go and buy some chakalaka, which is actually my husband's favourite thing. This chakalaka stuff in the tin.
Yeah, I put it in my curry. It's
lovely. He loves it too, but it tasted delicious on the barley. So the chakalaka sauce is comprised of half a cup of chakalaka, half a cup of coconut milk, and 30 grams of fresh coriander. Then for the barley and lentils, you're going to need 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of mustard seeds, 2 onions halved and thinly sliced, 4 cloves of garlic crushed, 1.5 tablespoons of ground coriander, 2 teaspoons of ground turmeric, 1.5 cups of pearl barley, 7 cups of vegetable stock, 3/4 cups of split red lentils, salt and black pepper, and 3/4 cup of finely chopped coriander to serve. So what you do is you put your oven to 180 and you place the sweet potatoes and olive oil onto the roasting tray, and you toss it with a bit of olive oil and you roast it until the potatoes are soft. Mine actually softened quite quickly. Elmarie said 45 minutes. Actually, mine was soft after 25. So I think maybe just keep an eye on the potatoes to make sure.
There's nothing better than roasted vegetables in your soup.
They get beautiful taste.
Lovely.
They're kind of caramelized.
Yeah.
Richness, really delicious. Then to make your chakalaka sauce, you're going to add the chakalaka, coconut milk, and coriander to the food processor, and you're going to blend until smooth and season to taste with some salt and pepper. Then you're going to heat your oil in a large saucepan over medium heat. You add the mustard seeds and you cook for 30 seconds until the seeds begin to pop. Don't do longer than that because they actually get that burnt taste if you do it for too long. You add your onions and garlic and you cook until the onions begin to soften. Then you stir in your ground coriander and turmeric and you cook for 1 minute until fragrant. You add the barley and you stir in the stock and you're going to cook this for 25 minutes. Thereafter, you're going to stir in the red lentils, bring it to the boil and simmer for another 15 minutes. And then you just transfer it to a beautiful serving plate, top with your chakalaka sauce and spoon over your chopped coriander. It was absolutely magnificent. And
all
really
flavors.
Delicious curry.
Got to try
warm
it.
Flavors. And I think it was beautiful on the Saturday too. And I figure you could eat it even cold as a salad on the Saturday. It was really, really delicious and well worth making. And the book is definitely well worth taking a look at. It is the most beautiful book. Even just to look at the pictures was completely enticing.
And it's called The Table.
It's called The Table by Elmarie Berry, The Heartbeat of the Home.
Beautiful. Now, I must say that sitting at home at the moment, I have got 2 crock pots on, one full of barley and the other one beans, and a vegetable soup, a minestrone soup for my husband. And we, during winter, there is nothing better than a beautiful piece of crusty bread and a soup.
Delicious.
Oh, and leek and potato.
Leek and potato soup,
because
yes.
I've got the girls coming tonight, so I don't know, half of them are on diet and half of them aren't, so they'll have their choice of that, and we have a soup and salad evening tonight.
That's such fun. That's so really beautiful.
Nice warm soup, and then a nice, I think, a sushi salad I'll make.
Sounds absolutely delicious.
So now, my comfort food happens to be boring old cottage pie or macaroni cheese. It's just those things that my mother used to make.
I love macaroni cheese.
You know, like just, and it was just so comforting, and I love it. And chicken soup, and that to me, I mean, as soon as any of my kids or grandkids get sick, it's, "Ma, have you got
chicken soup,
frozen chicken soup?" It's just so comforting. And anyway, so now I'm gonna give you a recipe for a bean and barley soup, which is really quite a simple soup. Let me find it.
And then when you're done, will you explain to me how to use a hot pot? Do you know that I don't have one?
No, you must.
You have to tell me how to do it.
You know, I couldn't live without it. If it wasn't for my crock pot, I use it all the time.
It sounds like you just put everything in.
Put everything in. And we're just so busy that it just. And the other day I was watching somebody doing layers, where she did layer of onions, layer of carrots, layer of potato, layer of. and then the meat on top, pressed it down, and then filled it with water, some stock, and threw in some barley and potatoes. It's like a chollen, but it had more, had a curry powder in it, a little bit of coriander, so it had all those lovely flavours.
But then maybe does your house smell, like does it smell like when you're making a chollen? You know, like when you make a chollen, you wake up on Saturday morning, all you can smell
exactly.
is this house.
Exactly, yeah. I know. So, you know, like I was actually thinking, I said to my kids, what is comfort food to you? And they said, all of them said, coming on a Friday afternoon and smelling challah in the oven. There is nothing more beautiful. However, cholent on a Shabbos morning, the smell, I have to always close the kitchen door.
You can smell it the whole house, your hair, your clothes.
it's true. Anyway, so the bean and barley soup is as follows. It's half a cup of white beans, 1 cup of butter beans, the small white beans, half a cup of butter beans, 1 cup of barley, 2 bay leaves. That's comfort in itself. That for me, cooking with bay leaves takes it to another level. 5 large carrots, 4 sticks of celery, 2 onions, 3 large leeks, oil for frying, 2 slices of meaty shin, some potatoes peeled and cubed, 3 or 4, and 3 liters of chicken stock. Either homemade or you put 3 cubes to 3 cups. This is 6 cubes to 2 liters of water. So it's a bit about, 8 to... You need quite a bit.
Like 2/3, yeah. It depends actually on the brand.
I mean, yes.
I've been using Imana now because my daughter's allergic to garlic and Imana doesn't have garlic. So I've been using 1 cup to 1 cube.
Right.
I'm not sure. And then
it depends
on the actual brand. I think you've got to...
Yeah. And then, okay, so I'm going to come back to what we're going to do with the bean and barley soup after the ads.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Okay, so we were talking about bean and barley soup. Lovely comfort food. And I said you'd need some white beans, the raw ones. The white beans, the little ones, cannellini.
Cannellini beans. You can use tinned ones.
You can use tinned as well. But if you want to, you can. This soup I make over 2 days.
And maybe the fresh beans are better because the tinned ones are going to get mushy if you cook them for a long time.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, what I do is I do it the night before. I put the beans, the butter beans, the barley, and the bay leaves all into my crock pot. And I leave it on well covered nicely with water.
How do you know how much water you need?
I would do it at least about 4 centimeters to 5 centimeters above
the level.
Yeah.
So you don't get the food burning on the bottom.
Correct. But it hardly ever burns in a chollen pot if you have the right amount of water. And I just let that go on low overnight. And I've got beautiful beans and barley the next morning. And then I chop and slice the carrots, the celery, the onions, and the leeks, and pour a little oil in the bottom of the large soup pot, and I fry the meat just to seal it. Add the vegetables.
Also in the crock pot or separately?
No, in a separate pot.
In a separate pot.
Yeah. And then I add the vegetables, except the potatoes, and I fry them for a few minutes, just stirring continuously in the pot. And then you drain the beans and the barley and discard the bay leaves and add the cubed potatoes, those beans and barley and chicken stock to the pot and you boil it for about 2 hours. Keep the lid on and you can boil it on slow. And you may need to add a little bit more water at this point if you feel the soup is too thick. Some beans retain more water than others. Why should they be different from us? And add salt and spaghetti. Add salt and pepper to taste. And leave the soup to simmer for about 2 hours, as I say, on low heat. And then when you're serving, if you want it to be a typical South African dish, you can put some shredded biltong on top. It just gives it a nice,
wonderful,
meaty taste. And then, as I said, what you can do is after boiling the soup for about 2 hours, you can transfer it all to a crock pot and just let it cook on low, you know.
There's actually nothing better, I think, than slow cooking. Is, you know, and that's a winter thing, being able to put your food on, go out for the day, come back in the afternoon and your meal's cooked.
Well, that's why they say slow cooking is actually quicker sometimes, you know, if you've got a lot to do during the day and people are busy and, you know, and I don't know, to me these crock pots are wonderful.
But even like I made an ossobuco last week, which was fabulous. And literally I made it in the morning before I got dressed. I could get rid of the cooking smell, got dressed, came back, and by the afternoon I had the most unbelievable meal. I mean, I can share the recipe if you like. It's a wonderful ossobuco recipe.
Of course.
So in the olden days we used to be able to get veal, Charles. We can't get veal anymore. Why not?
Because of, you know, they don't.
We don't
do
get veal
anymore in South Africa because, you know, of
the cruelty to the animal.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So, and then, you know, the babies, leave them alone.
Yes, okay, fair enough. So this is the recipe, it's a very old recipe, said 6 shanks of veal. So I don't use the shanks of veal, I would use the beef shanks. And what I do is I get my butcher to cut them into rounds. You know, when you cut it, you get those dangly bits on the side.
Yeah.
So I ask him to take off the dangly bits for me. So I've got these beautiful rounds.
Okay.
And then you use 6 tablespoons of oil, about 2.5 tablespoons of tomato puree, a clove of garlic chopped, salt and pepper, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, and make sure you use a good wine because you have to drink that with your ossobuco, you know, when you're eating it. 1/2 cup of flour, 1 cup of stock, and then you're going to make a mirepoix, which is a tablespoon of parsley chopped together with some lemon rind, a teaspoon. 2 leeks, the white part of the leeks, 2 carrots, 2 onions, and 1/2 a stalk of celery, which you chop all together. Then you're going to need a pinch of thyme and a small bay leaf, Shah, to add to the ossobuco.
A big one. I'd put a big one.
A big bay leaf. All right. And then what you do is you dredge the meat in a little bit of flour, and then you brown the meat in, you know, in a... like a big Le Creuset in a big,
big.
I actually just made it in a big soup pot, and that's worked beautifully. You season it, dredge it with flour, and you're going to brown the pieces, and then you take the meat out, and then you're going to cook your leek and onion mix. You're going to add the thyme, the bay leaf, the garlic, and then you're going to add the white wine, and you cook until the white wine has evaporated. You then add the stock. And you put the meat back in and you cover it and you just put it into the oven. I put it in on 180, and then when I see it starts to bubble, I turn it down to about 140, and I just leave it to cook slowly, basting it, actually thoroughly basting it, turning my meat from the bottom very carefully to the top, because otherwise I found it dries out.
Yeah.
And you just cook it on a low heat for hours and hours until the meat is literally falling off the bone.
Beautiful.
And it is absolute comfort food.
One other comfort food that this really sums up comfort to me, is, I think it's my first book that I did, Boozy Beef in the Sunday Papers. And what it is, nothing better than relaxing on a cold day with a fire burning, newspaper spread across the floor, and eating a hearty beef dish that has been cooking slowly for hours in a dark, rich gravy.
Oh, yeah, now, share quickly.
Okay. Now, I've got a little tip for you, a little secret. There is some stuff called Stafford's Browning Sauce. It's in a little bottle.
Not HP sauce.
No, not HP. It's too spicy. It has no taste whatsoever. It just serves to brown. So, if you find that you're, like, I don't know, sometimes the kids will come in and they go, oh, Ma, that looks a little bit milky, that curry. Just take the Stafford's and you can put a teaspoon. It's just a teaspoon, and it turns it into this rich, dark sauce. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's unbelievable. How did you come to it?
I've found it at the one of the shops.
You see, that's where I'm missing out with all this online shopping, because when you actually go and you look at the shelves and all the products, you...
Well, that's what I did this morning. Kosher World. I walked up and down, looked to see what's new. I love doing that.
It's inspiring, don't you think?
Mm.
Or even going and seeing it. The seasonal vegetables and the fruit in the...
And when you go overseas, they can leave me in any supermarket.
For hours. Me too.
Hours and hours and hours. I stand there checking signs and looking to see what's... It's unbelievable.
No, I know. Oh, I get you.
Love it. Anyway, so let's get back to this boozy beef in the Sunday paper. So what you will need is 3 leeks sliced, 4 large carrots sliced, 2 onions chopped, and a little oil for frying. Now, another thing that I found, I'm sure I've told you this before, is celery salt.
Yes.
I don't like using celery. I just find that whenever I put celery into things and chop it up, it sucks stringy. I don't know.
Robertson made it, and then they stopped making it. And then you Woolworths told me you found a Woolworths one.
Woolworths got it. And I use that as instead of celery. Or, like in my chicken soup, I leave my celery whole. I don't chop it up. Anyway, then as a little oil for frying, then you would need 1.5 kilos of beef stroganoff strips. You ask your butcher to cut stroganoff style. 1/2 cup of flour mixed with 1 tablespoon of gravy powder, Bisto, and 1 teaspoon of mustard powder. And the mustard just brings out the most delicious flavor. And 1 cup of beer.
Is that the boozy part?
That's the boozy part.
Yeah.
A cup of beer. And I don't know, you don't taste beer at all.
You don't taste the alcohol.
Alcohol just evaporates. 2 cups of beef stock. So that's 2 beef stock cubes in 2 cups of boiling water. And a tin of tomato paste, not puree. And then, of course, don't forget, whenever you use tomato, just a pinch or a teaspoon of brown sugar, salt and pepper. And then all you do is you fry the vegetables in a little oil until they limp. Remove them, set them aside, and sprinkle the meat with the flour mixture, which is the flour, the gravy powder, and the mustard powder. And you fry the meat. Not, I would keep the meat like half, so it's what, you know, in 3 batches, because otherwise it boils. You know, it doesn't fry.
You get that kind of white stuff floating around.
You want it to be nice and brown and caramelized, and then put it all back into the pot and add the beer and the beef stock and just let, and place the vegetables also back in the pot with the meat. And just let it simmer for about 10 minutes. And if you're using a cast iron pot, okay, you can, which is suitable for the oven, you can put that in the oven, covered, and leave it to cook for at least an hour and about 160, 170. Otherwise, just put it in an oven-proof dish and cover it with foil, and you just cook it for the same amount of time. Remember, the strips are thin, so it's not going to take,
doesn't need
that long. Okay, you remove the meat from the oven and you add the tomato puree, the sugar and the salt and pepper to taste. Stir it well. If you feel there isn't enough liquid, add a little bit more. And, just check on the gravy and see if you like it. If you like it a little bit thicker or a little bit thinner, whatever the liquid is.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Do you add stock or do you just add water? Because I had that dilemma with my Osa Booker. I thought, do I add stock or do I add
beef stock?
So you make more stock and add it.
I need 2 stock. It just brings out the flavor nicely. But then you put it back in the oven. So, then you've got time to read your newspapers and relax. Put it back in the oven, but reduce it to about 140 because, as I said, the strips are quite thin. And then you cook it further.
And I think this would be nice even if you put it in the fridge and you ate it again the next day. All the flavours would seep
absolutely
into the meat.
It's always better. Stews and things like that that cook for us always better the next day.
The next day.
Curry's always better the next day.
See, and then you can have the whole day just to enjoy. Sit in front of the fire, read your book.
Yeah.
And
the best.
The best, it really is.
Okay, so now do you have any nice soups, comfort soups?
So we could talk about vichyssoise. I've got my vichyssoise recipe. But yes. I also think that we have to talk about white sauce. Don't the beauty of white sauce? You know, yes. You can make this mac and cheese. You can make a beautiful fish pie with your white sauce.
You can make add cheese and you can make a beautiful white sauce over cauliflower and broccoli.
There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, soup is a soup. I just think this white sauce, I mean, I make every year, I make macaroni cheese to break the fast. And this is what everybody eats. Not my fancy salads and not my beautiful elaborate pastas, but the macaroni cheese.
Yeah, it's because it's beautiful comfort food and you've been starving and you're hungry yes. the whole day.
And you can make a huge batch and you can yeah. put it into the freezer or divide it in two. And then you come home and you don't feel like cooking. You can take one out of the freezer, pop it into the oven, and you have this beautiful mac and cheese. So should I share my white sauce with you? You'll tell me
yes,
how.
Yes, share it.
So what I do is I take 60 grams of butter. Mm-hmm. Grams and mils in butter is exactly the same thing. So if you weigh your butter and it's 60 grams, that's the same as 60 mils. It's the only thing where mils and grams are exactly the same
thing. Tablespoons.
Is it two tablespoons?
That's right. No.
No. It's four. 15, 15, there's 30, and then 30 and 30, 60.
That's
four tablespoons.
I'm tapping at school.
I'm counting on my fingers, look. Anyway, so it's 60 grams or 60 mils of butter, which you melt. And then you're going to add a half a cup of flour. And you're going to cook it until the flour melts into the butter. That's called a roux in fancy terms. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to add 2 cups of milk and slowly, slowly stir it in. You can't stir it in too quickly because then you're going to get a lumpy sauce. So very slowly.
Which is where your whisk comes in.
Yes.
A whisk is the most one of the most important utensils in your kitchen.
100%.
Especially when making a white sauce. It just gets out all the lumps.
And gives it that lightness.
Correct.
And then what you need to do is you need to take this sauce off the stove and I add a cup of cheese. And thank God, Tassa's cheese is back in the shops.
Oh, yes.
Was very deprived, like Chai FM not being on the radio and Tassa's cheese not being on the shops. Anyways, I've bought a huge big piece and I've frozen in little bags in my freezer. So you can add a cup of cheese to this white sauce. You can toss it over a packet of macaroni, and then I sprinkle some of those normal Kellogg's crumbs on top, and you bake it, and it is sublimely delicious on a cold winter's day.
Beautiful.
How do you do yours? Do you add mustard to yours?
I add a teaspoon of mustard.
Yes.
And I do add a bay leaf.
And a bay leaf.
Take out.
You have to come get some leaves off my bay leaf tree. It's gone enormous. You're welcome.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Bay leaves and as I say, a little bit of mustard powder.
A little bit of mustard powder. And then you can make a fish pie with that. So you can add some mushrooms to this, put in some cooked hake, put it into a beautiful kind of pie dish, and then you get some ready-made puff pastry, put it over, brush it with some egg and bake it. And
now, you know what I do? I also do my fettuccine alfredo. I make a white sauce. Obviously, I put cream in,
yes.
And I use half milk, half cream. Yeah, but I also reduce the amount of flour. I just do a tablespoon and then a tablespoon of butter and a tablespoon of flour. But and then I add the milk and the cream and, you know, give it a nice stir. And it just makes it that little bit more rich.
Delicious.
And you use it for lasagna, the white sauce.
Yes.
You use it for lasagna.
And I even make a pair of wine with chicken stock for meat lasagna. Yes.
Perfect.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. You're talking, you're listening to, and I'm talking.
We're talking.
Lauren Bulkin and Sharon Lurie. So there was one other thing I remember that I make quite often, except when we're on diet, And that is, it's called...
But I'm only on diet in the morning. 10 o'clock, it's worn off.
It's called My Comfort Food. You know, talking about diets, have you seen this diet with the lemon juice and this Himalayan salt or
something?
No,
but best you give me that recipe quickly.
You've got to go and look at online. I mean, it's just flooded. Facebook is flooded with this.
With tell me.
It's Himalayan salt, lemon juice, and you can put a touch of honey in it. And you drink that every morning on an empty stomach, and people are losing weight like you cannot believe. But listen.
Do you think I'll be thin by tomorrow? I'm not sure.
Thank God. But I don't know. To me, it sounds like it could be a bit dangerous.
No.
That salt and all oh, no, I don't know.
You no, just but I'm your doctor too, first. I'm too passionate about it. I mean, I actually found this saying. I have to tell you because it. But let me see if I can find it for you quickly. So I read Francis Mulman said this. He's a chef. He said, it's not important how delicious the food and wine is. What is important is how in love with life we are.
Absolutely.
But it's too entrenched with me.
I definitely love life.
My love of life is what I'm eating.
So this is what comfort food to me is all about. And this is for my kids. This is also comfort. Ma, it's time to make that steak pie.
Yes.
So, is it something that gives us a sense of well-being, reminding us of our childhood and home cooking? Is it a feel-good meal that warms our hearts and satisfies our every need? Or is it something we always break our diets on? Cottage pie seems to cover most of that for my family and even sounds comforting, cuddly, cottagey and homely. So it's called My Comfort Pie and it's actually, I'm going to give you this recipe first and then I'll give you the steak pie afterwards. Mm-hmm. If we've got time, but I think I'd prefer to share that.
The
tomato soup one.
Mm. No, you can't ask me to do that because I can't find it.
Okay. Oh, well, then maybe I'll give you my tomato soup.
You give me your tomato soup. So I'll give you my toasted cheese recipe.
Okay. So for this comfort pie, you need 6 large potatoes and you peel and cube the potatoes and you boil them until they're soft and you drain them and you mash them with some tablespoon of margarine and 1/2 cup of non-dairy creamer. Okay, and just set that aside for later. And you make up the beef stock and allow it to cool. And how you do that is 2 cups of beef stock, which is 2 beef stock cubes dissolved in 2 cups of boiling water. Chop your onions. It's marvelous. You know, you can even get chopped onions already chopped for you.
It's fantastic. I'm not complaining. I think it's wonderful. It's worth every cent for me.
So you can get 2 chopped onions fried in a little oil, 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic, 2 carrots grated, 1 kilo of mince, and 1 tin of tomato paste, not tomato puree, 2 teaspoons of gravy powder, 1 teaspoon of mixed herbs, they mix Italian herbs, and 2 tablespoons of onion soup powder, the Imana one. I use that, and 1 teaspoon of sugar, of course, because we have the tomato paste. And what you do is you fry the onions in a little oil until they're glassy. You add the garlic, carrots, and the mince, and you fry, continue to fry it, stirring all the time until the mince has cooked through. Now, stirring the mince while it cooks prevents lumps from forming. But then you have 2 kids. One loves it lumpy. The other one likes it smooth. But you place the cooled beef stock, tomato paste, gravy powder, and mixed herbs, onion soup, and sugar in a bowl. You mix it well and add this to the mixture. And it's just stir it until it heats through. And then you leave it to simmer just for a few minutes because remember, it's still going to cook in the oven. And you place the mince into an oven-proof dish. You spread the mashed potato on top. And just remember, you must try and keep the mince quite moist. It must be quite liquidy because when it cooks, it sort of evaporates off. And if you want it to be a little bit more creative, you can put the mash into a piping bag. And you can make those beautiful lines and crosses. Otherwise, you can just put it on and make it look like waves in the sea.
And then you haven't got time. Use a fork.
You can always do that. And you bake it at 180 for about 30 to 40 minutes until it goes really nice and golden brown.
It's yummy. And then you eat that those crispy bits. The potato. Yum.
Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody delicious. Fights for the corner where it's all crispy and beautiful. So there you are. Simple, simple comfort food. The tomato soup. Now, I've got to try and remember. It is such a simple tomato soup. It's two tins of tomato, chopped Italian tomatoes. I add a tomato puree, not paste.
Yes.
Tin of tomato puree. 2 cups of chicken stock, so you can use the mono chicken stock if you want to, with water. A cup, I'm keeping this paraff, but for yours, you can actually.
For my toasted cheese.
Toasted cheese, tomato soup. You can have cream. But for mine paraff, I put in coconut cream. And as I say, add the mono tomato soup. And it's as simple as that, and a bit of sugar.
There's nothing. I mean, it's actually
so easy.
It's the best thing. Toast cheese. It's like crunchy with those bits of cheese rather. That's the best lunch.
Oh, and also basil. I put quite a bit of fresh basil.
Yes, basil and tomatoes.
Blend it all up and have a beautiful tomato soup, which everybody wants on Shabbos. It's
perfect.
So easy.
Should we talk about dessert, or should I tell you about spaghetti and meatballs if we're talking about mince? Okay. Want dessert? Dessert first.
Dessert. Oh, yeah. Let's have
my
a nice
power
dessert.
Of apple tart, because you need apple tart when you...
Oh.
Comfort. Apple tart is comfort. Apple that tart is. And chocolate cake. I've got both. You can choose one. I'll give you the apple tart.
Okay.
This is from my friend Jody. It's the really easiest power of apple tart.
Okay.
So... In the olden days, you could get those coupon pineapples. I don't think you can get them anymore. Can you still get them? Can you? Because I've just been blanching 3 apples, like cooking it until they're al dente in a bit of water, and that's perfect.
And you want a little tip?
Tell me.
You can put a teaspoon of custard powder into it.
Really?
And it just add it to the water.
Yes.
Then mix it until it dissolves, and then you can add
your apples. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, I'm going to try that. So literally, you can either just go and buy the tin of apples, or you can just blanch your own. You're going to need a tin of coupon apples, a cup of sugar, a cup of flour, 3/4 cups of oil, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, a pinch of salt, 2 eggs, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla. And you literally mix all the ingredients except the apples together in a bowl. You grease a pie dish, and then you put the apples on the bottom of the pie dish. You then pour over your topping, sprinkle with brown sugar and cinnamon, and bake at 180 for 30 minutes. How's that for easy?
That is
yum.
So easy.
And easy.
So easy.
Perfect apple tart. And it's paraff.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. You are with Lauren Bulkin and Sharon Lurie, and we are chatting comfort foods.
And we forgot to talk about ginger. Ginger cake or ginger in your food, or even ginger as a cold and flu preventative measure. You know, if you steep some ginger in some water and you drink it when you've got flu, it's wonderful for
also
making you feel
nauseous.
Better.
Yes. But if ginger, ginger is, and ginger cake. With real butter, not this margarine nonsense.
No, not margarine.
Real butter. Oh, something better.
Delicious.
So I've got one quicker. I'm sure I've given it on the air. The chocolate cake. The chocolate cake with the, you buy an Ina Parman chocolate cake, you follow the recipe, and then all you do is you buy a nice quality chocolate. And you melt it with 100 grams in 2 cups of boiling water. You pour it over and it's a self-basting sauce.
Yes, and you can do a milk one where you're going to buy a Cadbury's whole nut. And you melt that with some cream. I'd say about half a tub of cream, so about 125 mils of cream.
Right.
You melt your whole nut chocolate with a half a tub of cream, and then you pour it over your Ina Parman cake. You can make a chiffon cake, or you can even buy a chiffon cake without icing, and you pour over this whole nut Cadbury's chocolate. It is completely sublime.
Wow. I had to make a tiramisu because we were having friends for an Italian evening. And I've been battling between the kosher desk and myself. We're trying to find kosher
finger biscuits. Yes.
Okay. Anyway, apparently Schneider's are bringing some in. But you know what I did? I went to Pick and Pay, and I got a
slab of sponge cake.
Of sponge cake.
Works like a charm.
And it was perfect.
Yes.
It was beautiful. And I made
it. And, it was and then tutus, and it seeps. And they're beautiful, those yeah, slab cakes.
It's just like a slab yes. of Madeira. And then they had a chocolate one as well. And I made Black Forest out of that.
Yes, I've
done it. I actually put layers. I put a layer of the cake, chocolate mousse. Then I put some meringue. And then the black cherries and a little bit of liquor. And then and I just builded it up.
And you make it pretty, pretty, you
pretty,
know?
Pretty, pretty. Yes. Melted some chocolate, dark chocolate, with a little bit of coconut oil, coconut cream, and I just put it over as... Nobody knew the difference.
No, haven't you seen on those cooking shows where they buy that bought cake and they scrape off the icing and then they make their own icing and they decorate and they build these beautiful towers with the bought cake?
I've missed that program.
No, it's not. You know what? It's not about spending hours in the kitchen.
Mm.
It's about feeding your soul and just spending time with those that are important to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I was looking up, I was reading somewhere that the Americans, when they were asked, what is their comfort food? What was their comfort food?
Pizza. Roast chicken, no.
No?
Pizza.
Pizzas. They did a survey with 1,000 people. Number one was pizzas. The next one, I think, was hot dogs, hamburgers, and ice cream.
I think that's very sad. Because, you know, the same as we spoke about, you remember your baba and your mother in the kitchen exactly. on a Sunday and the meals that they made. And kind of yeah. that's what I want my children to have.
Absolutely.
Not this fancy, elaborate thing, but just to comfort remember. Food and to remember yeah. what their mother did. Or
absolutely. Because it is, we have to do it from generation to generation.
It's almost like a hug, don't you think? Absolutely. A hug from the past.
Absolutely. Yes. Beautiful. That beautiful note to end off on. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. And thank you for joining Lauren. And we had fun talking about comfort food. Go and light those fires and enjoy Wimbledon. Don't you love the tennis?
I love the tennis.
Oh, I was watching last night. I couldn't stop. They had to postpone a game. I can't wait to go and watch it.
Yeah, and the beautiful strawberries. We've got gorgeous strawberries now in the shops.
I know. My husband said to me, you know, you are such a Wimbledon fanatic. I've got to get you some strawberry shots.
Yes, best.
It's cold though for strawberries.
No, yeah. They are yum. Delicious strawberries.
You know what? I love them. On warmed up with a little bit of strawberry jam. And you warm it up and you mash it with a fork and you pour it over ice cream. Vanilla ice cream.
Delicious.
Ooh, lovely. Well, on that comforting note, bye-bye, everybody. See you soon. And thank you, Craig, as always.
See, I could never go home and have salt. What do you tell me to have salt?
Salt and vinegar.
No, not salt and vinegar chips, yes.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.